Hello,
Hello,
everyone.
everyone.
Welcome
Welcome
to the
to the
Flavie
Flavie
Podcast. This is Allison LeBrun, and I am so excited because I have another juicy interview for you all today. And really, you're in the right spot if you're interested in incorporating your curiosities, your fascinations, and your passions into your career, or if you are just really curious and interested in transformational and personal growth. And so today I am here with an amazing friend, a colleague, and someone who I've had the blessing to participate in some of her programs, my friend Shane. And Shane, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So I really want everyone to and find out a little bit more about what you do, and sort of, I know that you are the founder of Enchantress Shane. So tell us a little bit more about what that means and what that looks like.
Great. So I am Enchantress Shane, yes, and I'm the founder of the Awkward Academy. And I work with sensitive and creative women who want to come out of hiding in some way so they can have more freedom, more permission, more sensual self-expression and authenticity. And the foundation of that is you can't mess up. Like everyone is, no one's broken. And really getting to the place of moments of acceptance so that life is more enchanted and there's no such thing as mundane, but everything is playful and interesting and curious. And that's why I love the idea of being interviewed by you because I know that's a lot of what you live by as well.
I love that.
Yes.
You definitely exude that. You embody that. So for those of you who are listening, I live in Jersey City. Shane is in Rockaway Beach. So we're in the New York City area. So I've been lucky enough to attend some of your live classes and actually see you in action, and you totally embody that. So I'm curious to know, what was life like before Enchanted Living and before you
Oh.
became Enchantress Shane? Like, what was it like being in your body and
Oh.
living in this world?
I'm so excited you asked that because I know the impact and I know what I look like and what I exude now. But it was so painful. I mean, not that it's not painful now, but I'm aware of it and I know what to do with it at times. But growing up and up until I was about 35, I was in constant judgment mode of everyone, of myself, of my family, of just everything. I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't understand why anybody would be my friend. I felt fat and ugly, and I thought everywhere I went, people were just like having pity parties and like, well, just she's fine. Like she seemed, I don't know. I really, and before that, I was really self-loathing. And I mean, that self-loathing was going way back. And as an adult in college, I just always wanted to be right. And so I was pretty argumentative and pretty defensive at the same time. And I really had a chip on my shoulder that I was kind of a know-it-all. And I did that because I was defenseless. I didn't know that I didn't have to prove myself. So I just got better at proving myself.
Wow. Yeah. And I wonder if there's listeners out there that can relate to that. And I can definitely relate to that. As I hear you sharing, I can like remember myself, like in my college years and 20s, like early 20s, before I started focusing on, really looking at my inner world, like that same thing of like needing to be right, needing to prove all the time. Not to say that I've completely, also like I don't want to experience that anymore ever, but like I have so much freedom from that. And I remember that space of being so painful. It's so tiring to have to
Oh.
constantly be like defending ourselves all the time.
Yes. And then I had tremendous amounts of anxiety because I would replay the stories in my head and also be in real pain. Like if another woman, one situation that happened so much in college and even into my 30s was, a lot of friends would get married and then wouldn't really hang out with me anymore. And it was so painful. And I knew I was right. Like I knew they were doing the wrong thing. And I would stay up at night just reviewing how I could one day let them know that they were wrong and that they didn't honor the sisterhood. And I didn't have that language back then, but I just knew they were wrong. And I felt really hurt.
So what led you? I mean, how did you start to gain some more space from these? And I know, like, when I refer to you as Enchantress Shayne, right? It's like the you that is freed up from all of that stuff. So, like, what did that look like? Like, what was the first time you realized, oh my gosh, I'm the one creating all of this pain for myself?
So there were little fleeting moments, like books I've read, noticings that I was different than friends I grew up with. But the ultimate change was improv acting, when I started going to the Open Door Acting Company. And I was just being joyful. I'm like, hey, kind of like Sex in the City, like, and that's what my teacher said. And then there was something she was suggesting and offering, and it was like, now I call it going into the darkness or peeking in to see what else is happening in my inner life. And I was like, oh, who do you think you are? Like, that is none of your business, that kind of attitude. And but at the same time, after going to class, I felt lighter, I felt more energized, but I didn't lose the chip on my shoulder yet. I was like, who's this woman think she is? But something about it told me to keep going back. And at that point, I was already a therapist. I was working with children with autism. I was really unhappy with my work because it didn't feel genuine. And I would keep going to class and I would keep leaving with more energy. So for the next 2 years, I stopped anything and everything social. I only went to this class once a week and it was a pain in the ass to get there. I lived in Brooklyn and it was in the Upper West Side. And I dropped a bunch of friends. I dropped a party lifestyle and I just went to class. And things started shifting. And so that was a huge part. And improv acting is play, which is why I think you and I are so aligned. It's like, how do I play? So I played out a lot of different things. I played out a lot of the scenarios that would keep me up at night. And my anxiety lessened, my righteousness, my rigidity started to loosen up, and I started to live more curious instead of just jumping to like, I have to be right.
Wow, I love that. I love that play. Well, I mean, I use the word play, but improv, which, like you said, is play. Like, had you gained some freedom, it kind of was like a key into another world, the world of curiosity. It's so juicy, right?
Oh, so good. Yes, really, it's so good.
Yeah, because I mean, there's nothing, if you have to be right and you have to defend yourself. I know, like, I've had certain experiences where maybe, like, a coach, I know it was their best intention. They wanted to help me, but they were kind of coming from the place of, like, let me fix you, or let me show you how that shitty, like, way you're being is crappy. And then I would go into more defense mode. So I can really relate to, like, when there's a space of play, which is a space of, like, let's put our judgments aside, let's just be curious. Then there's room for us to have our own awarenesses, like our own, like see ourselves and be like, whoa, oh yeah, that thing that I'm doing isn't working for me. Like, I never saw that before. So this is so juicy. And so I know now you incorporate, I know you incorporate a lot of improv and play into your programs. What other things in your life kind of contributed to the work that you're doing today? I know a lot of my listeners are people that are really wanting to incorporate their creative passions and curiosities in maybe into a career. So, like, how did that path look for you?
Wow, what a good question. So it's interesting. I'm reading a book right now, and I've been doing a lot of shaman trainings in Hebrew, Jewish, tribal stuff. And there's a word called, I don't like have a great accent with it, but it's called yichud. And it's
Okay.
about becoming whole. So it's about alchemy and taking all the pieces and bringing them together. And so I say a lot of this now in my language that I speak and the lifestyle that I live now. But back then, I just did whatever felt like maybe this, I don't know. But there was something guiding me. So along the way, when I was like, I don't know, I'll try this, I built a track record. So the more evolved I got, the more I realized, like, oh, I was taking chances because I was desperate. But part of the chances I took was in college, I started working in strip clubs and I was an education major. So the contrast is so
Ha
fun, of course, but also it's that word of yichud, like how do I go and learn how to teach children? And then the polarity, and then go, you know, waitress, and then eventually dance in a strip club. And looking back, it was so genius, but it wasn't like I knew what I was doing. So I just kept taking risks and chances. And, you know, I was very much in my head, but for some reason, knowing ever since I was young, I knew I was sexy. I knew that sexy and sensual had a power. And, you know, my dad had a record collection, and I would look at all these like different record albums that had all these sexy women, and we didn't have cable, but I would go to other people's houses and watch MTV. I would watch these sexy women, and I'm like attracted. I'm like, that is cool. Like at 9 years old, I was like, I think I'm sexy. I just remember that feeling of when I would put on my pajamas and look at my body, and it didn't last very long. Like about 10, when I reached puberty, I was like, this is something to manipulate people with. So I didn't enjoy it in the same way. But having the training and then going on to my master's of learning behavior and becoming a behaviorist, and then thinking back to like, wow, 11 years studying men and researching like, wow, boundaries and play is something that children and men really have an easy time. Well, play. They both have an easy time being with. And I was like, wow, women are not playing. You know, I'm having a really hard time trying to like find a boyfriend, make a husband, or whatever I thought I had to do. And men were just, they had a space to go. Like, oh, if they had a hard day at work, they could go to a strip club. Like, there's a place to play. Kids have playgrounds. There's a place to play. And so my mission is that women have permission to play and stop fighting and psychologically getting drained on what has to be fixed. And so without knowing it, I was leading a lifetime of play in my body, but I didn't, you know, being on stage, looking in the mirror, putting on costumes, being in the dressing room. These women had families and they had college careers. They were cool. They were just like me. And so it was my first like dip into sisterhood where we were bearing it all, literally, and it was fun.
I love that. I love how you, like you said, you took the risks, which I guess could be another word for following your curiosity or your fascinations or your obsessions, you know, healthy obsessions, I guess you could say. And it's so funny. That's such a theme amongst all the people I interview. It's the same thing. And it's the same thing for my career too. Like, I just would take random class. Like when I was like 23, I went to this performance. It was like a circus arts performance and I loved it. And it was all kids performing. But afterwards I was with my parents and I looked at them. I'm like, I want to do that. And they were like, well, I don't know, go talk to the teacher. And I went to the teacher. I'm like, do you have classes for adults? She's like, no, but you could take class. Like, I mean, if you don't mind being in a class with 12 and 13 year olds. And I was like, I don't care. I really want to learn how to juggle. I really want to learn how to, you know, walk on stilts. Like I just like had this like surge of energy went through my body and just trusted that. And I love how you just like you did that. And it's led to you creating such an amazing offering for women. I can say, honestly, like attending your classes, it's so therapeutic, so freeing. It's like you said, you give women permission to play, and especially playing with our sensuality, which is, I feel like for a lot of women can be a topic of like a lot of shame or embarrassment, or maybe it's like, some, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like there's always something around sexuality and our sensuality for pretty much all people, especially women. So that's just it's so juicy. So if you're listening out there,
yes,
and you get some weird hit to like, you know, who would think like now, you know, you're studying child education and then you're working in a strip club and you're doing stripping. It's like such a contrast, but now it's all come together in this really interesting way. So it's like, trust your fascinations, trust the healthy risk that you're being called to take, and just do it, even if it doesn't make sense, because it will make sense later.
I love that. Trust your fascination. Like I wrote that down. That just,
Yeah. And sometimes our fascinations like usually they don't make any sense. Like they like our rational mind is like, this is crazy, but we still do it. You know, we have that desire to like really live a life that's about our curiosity. So I would love for you to share with the listeners out there, you know, what kind of classes do you offer? Like, what are your classes right now? What are they called? And, you know, what's happening in the academy that you are a founder of?
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. So because I do have the heart of the size of the world, and I really want to be able to reach everybody, there are in-person classes and workshops or play shops. And then there's, although I like to say work, like W-E-E-R-Q, like work.
Totally.
Yeah. And then there's also online programs, so that no matter where you live, like, this is something that's accessible and attainable. So I have two things coming up in November, and there's an 11-week showdown, and it's called Fuck Your Fears, and it's the courage course for the lonely enchantress. And yeah, I'm so excited about this because so many women I speak to, some clients and some just people are like, women are sharing, they're just frustrated, they're angry, they feel the world is overwhelming, and they're just trying to fix it all. But of course, that doesn't work. And so they end up just feeling really lonely unless they're so busy. And so busyness and over talking, and it dissipates feelings. And it's the feelings that keeps us in the healthy feminine. And so it's this 11-week showdown is, you know, I'm single, but I'm never lonely, ever. And I test the waters. I'm like, am I lonely now? So this group is for, you know, it could be single or people in partnerships, but people who feel lonely because they're spending time in their head.
So I love that. I love that. And you know what I was just hearing is, like, courage is contagious. I feel like we are, so I'm friends with you on Facebook, and you do a lot of like kind of Facebook challenges where you'll have like a 10 or a 15 day program around, you know, fucking your fears or just stepping into your courage. And it's so interesting. Every time you do that, sometimes I don't even watch all the videos, but just even like seeing you do something courageous, it inspires me to be like, oh, I'm going to do something courageous now too. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I'm going to do it. So I love that it's a group program, because it's like that group energy where, you know, we kind of sharing our courage, it lights everyone else up to do the same.
Totally. And I love that you just reminded me of something. Like, when you were in school, you got in trouble. And when we were all in school for copying, it was like, oh, you know, that whole shame thing of like, you're copying, or you're just doing it because she did it. And it's like, that's actually how we operate as women in groups, in teams, in, you know, different situations where we're allowed to be inspired by each other. And so the shame of like doing it too, because someone else is doing it, like, that's, it's bullshit. It's actually a beautiful thing to be inspired by a sister and to do something, because it can never be the same.
Yeah, right. It can never be the same. We're all unique. We all have our own spin or way of doing something. Yeah, I love that. And it's like, I'm just imagining this world that you're creating of like women inspiring one another and like all these women taking actions of courage. And it's like, wow, what would that world be like?
Yes, it's like real. And, you know, the rest of society wants to be, you know, in competition and judgment and comparison. And that just doesn't work. That's an old dead model. And it creeps up on me, you know, especially in the entrepreneur world, where it's like, oh my goodness, she has blah, blah, blah followers. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in that. Come back to like, there's no competition. If I have 10 amazing women who are doing their thing and changing their lives, I don't need 10,000 women.
I love that. I can really relate to that too, for sure. That, and I want to call myself on that and label that as like fear when I start doing that, you know, like looking at like what other, you know, people are doing and like, oh, they're doing all this and I'm not. It's like, no, just do your thing, girl.
Yeah.
Yep. All that we're here for is just to do our thing and do it with as much like love and joy as possible. And you totally do that. You're always doing that. It's very inspiring. So so people can, and this is an online course you're offering.
Yes, it's an online course. We did a 5-day Get Your Sexy Back challenge. And so you just need, if you're a woman and you're interested, you can just join us in the free group on Facebook, which is the Awkward Enchanted Coven. which I love because it's like just the words awkward and enchanted. It's like they can coexist.
Yes.
So there's information there. There's webinars. I'm really active in that group. It brings me life. And then the other next thing that's coming up in person is November 17th is an all-day burlesque event from 12 to 5 in New York City. And yeah, it's one of those things which, you know, is just like a really luxurious amount of time to get in your body, to feel permission, and to look in the mirror and be like, wow, who's that? Like, that's a beautiful human being and it's yourself.
I love that. Yeah. So I had the opportunity to do this like half day, almost like, it's a long, it's like 5 hours, right? 5 hour yeah. experience. Yep. I guess it was about a month ago mm-hmm. and it was so delicious. I really honestly can say that I felt a connection to the women in the room. Like they were my sisters, like real sisters. Like I really felt sisterhood and sisters in a way that I never had before. And it was so healing. It was just so comforting. You know, like you said, we live in a world as women where we're taught to compare and like be kind of pitting ourselves against one another. And only one woman can be sexy, or only you can only be sexy if you look this way or the way yes. that the media portrays it. And they're all lies and they keep us all so shut down. And so, yeah, I really had such a delicious experience and it fueled me up. Like I could, like, I remember like a couple weeks after that, I was just like, in my body, I was on fire, you know, and of course it's a practice. So
yeah.
Hopefully I'll be able to make it. I don't know that I can make it that date, but if you're out there listening and you want to make a trip to New York or if you're in the New York City area, definitely check that out. And we'll include links in the description to all these things. So
yeah. And I have to tell you something funny. I have a woman, she's amazing. I met her on Instagram. She came to my retreat. She's flying in. She needs it. She's flying in from North Carolina. She's like, I'm just going to make a New York City weekend out of it.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. I love it too. Yeah.
It's worth the flight for sure if you're coming from away, because there's a certain kind of, well, I think anytime a facilitator like you, like I know I facilitate with a lot of creativity and a lot of curiosity, and that creates a space of like a lot of openness for magic mm-hmm. to happen. And I have to say, like, these days are not, it's just, it's more, it's, there's a beyond energy that's there that just is, you can't really name it, but something juicy will happen for sure.
I love that, a beyond energy. I'm like taking notes. I love your words.
So I'm curious, like, women might be wondering, they're hearing this and they're like, oh, burlesque, but I'm not a dancer or yeah. I don't care about, you know, I don't want to do the feathers. Like, it's not my thing. Like what about a woman like that?
Great. Those are especially the women that I want to come to class because, or anything. And here's the reason. This is not performance class. Like there are classes for that. And, you know, I'd love to put on a show. That's something separate. There's an awkward enchanted tour happening. This is a process of learning to trust your body. And we have never been officially trained. Like, okay, you're 12, 13, you start menstruating, your body changes. And if you're lucky, somebody gives you a conversation about like what's happening, but all of a sudden you're different. And so we all have that in common. And so this is not about routines. This isn't like 5, 6, 7, 8, learn this. Because I feel like that for me triggers my brain too much, my mind. Mm-hmm. This is about closing your eyes and letting your hips move, letting your fingers move. You know, I've worked with a woman who's in a wheelchair. Like this does not have to be, look or feel like anything other than what your body does. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our bodies, when music comes on, we go into dance mode. But it's a recalibration because we're all women and no one's looking to, you know, usually you dance for a purpose, like, oh, I want to hook up tonight, or I want to look like the best woman on the dance floor. Or maybe sometimes this happens to me when I'm in a crowded space, I'm dancing and just thinking, I'm not even really I'm just like constantly thinking, I want to be in my body, I want to be in my, and I'm not. So this is an opportunity to integrate what movement means versus dance, which should look a certain way, and just allowing the feelings to come up. And they could be like you said, beyond energy. It could come up like 3 days later and you're like, oh my goodness, my heart feels so open, or my power feels engaged. So this is, there's no goals, there's no certain outcome, and the work continues. I'm obsessed with beyond energy now that you said it like that. So class could happen and a month later it's like, oh, I get it. I'm walking down the street and there's a difference of me being in power and being in victim, or being in masculine power, which is like, who wants to fuck with me, versus like, I own my street and I don't really care who's saying anything to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this. It really is like, I feel this is like your life's work, and it also is like a life practice, you know, like it never ends, the exploration of learning how to feel how our feelings in our body, and like explore what it feels like to be in our power and our unique body is just a never ending juicy exploration.
Yes. Yeah. Ever. I have a 75-year-old client. She is so badass and she's so shy and she won't come to my, she lives in my neighborhood. She won't come to class. So we work together one-on-one. She barely shows up in my groups because she doesn't want to be seen. Mm. But in working with me, she loves that I'm coming over to do a burlesque class in her house. I can't even look at her. I have to turn around. But it's like she wants to break through. So there is no limit to who can show up for this.
Mm, I love that. Wow. I love it. It's so awesome. So what do you think the world would be like if more women had access to really being able to like access their courage and get in touch with their feminine sensuality, their sensual body? Like, what kind of world do you see would get created?
Oh, well, I think everybody would chill out. And I say that like, it's funny. I say that a lot, especially when I see like political fighting going on. I'm like, everyone should just chill out. And it sounds like a very like throwaway statement, but if we all tuned in to our own selves and approach things with compassion and understanding and transmuting our darker feelings with creativity, and if we all had mentors of some kind, paid or not, but some community where we didn't feel alone and isolated, like we have to defend ourselves. So right before we got together today on this podcast, I got this call for action for artists locally, and I got this scared feeling, and it's due November 4th. And I'm like, November 4th? That's ridiculous. So there's such a short time limit. So I'm giving you this example. It's like, I could be like, oh, there's no time. How dare they give me 3 days to do it? I'm not entering it. Or I can look through what I already have, or I can paint. So instead of, you know, when we can take care of ourselves and stop blaming other people, then we can actually take risks and stay curious. I mean, that's the biggest and best word ever, because if someone's like, you're wrong, right? They come at me with that energy. If I stay curious and I think like, wow, why is this person so angry? This actually happened to me. I was an educational director at one point and they fired me because I didn't do a fire drill. And she's like, you are incompetent. And it's my old self would have went at it. And I was like, wow, you're really angry. And I knew it didn't make her happy. But it was just this curious observation. Like, wow, you're really angry at me right now. And I understand, you know, and not everybody's down for that language. But if we can use our creativity and curiosity at the same time, the world would be less rigid and be more open to change, even on a very small scale, right? Mm. Okay, we want to change politics, but maybe if you knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, you know, I just want to say hello and give you a bag of apples. Like, we never talk, but so on a very practical level, if we start opening ourselves up to strangers that don't look very happy, but in case we have an emergency, maybe we need to be friends with them. And so just to really take our responsibility, I'm giving you a million answers, but just.
No, I love that. Yeah. I love what you're saying. Kind of like, I think of like when I see kids playing on a playground, right? Like sometimes fights happen. Sometimes people get hurt and they fall down, but there's this exuberance and this like, aliveness that you can hear from like blocks away if you walk by a playground.
Yes.
You know, and it's like there's creation is happening, right? Like things are getting created beyond the pain or the fights or the arguments. And yeah, I hear like what you're painting a picture of is like what if adults could do that? Then and apply all of our wisdom, our adult wisdom, right? And
yeah,
and wow, the world would feel for sure different. I love that. I love who you be, and I'm just so grateful. Like for I know. The path you've taken has taken so many risks and has required you to step out of your comfort zone again and again and continue to do that. And I'm just so grateful that you keep doing that. And then you get to keep showing up in the way that you do and sharing with us like all your experiences and your knowledge and also your offerings, your experience, you know, the classes that you offer. Oh, yeah. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and just like here today, like this feels awesome. This connection, like I still get stuck and I'm like, oh, what am I even doing? Like, you know, I'm self-employed. I live alone. I live with myself and my dog. And so if there's a couple days that I don't feel into it, I can just be like, if I stop right now, no, you know, I can talk myself into it. But the magic that we're creating of just talking about what's amazing, what's available, it's so important to have community. Because isolating is a wounded masculine trait, and it's actually what so many people are doing. And, you know, social media is used for a lot of wonderful things, you know, and I treat my awkward enchanted coven as alive, like it's alive. And there's like so many women who don't participate. And I'm like, come on, this can make your life feel better. But everyone, if they had a community, not just of like-minded, but of like actioned people, you know, people go to church and they go to synagogue and mosques, which is great. But beyond that, there's so many more different interests that can be more connectable than just religion, because there's not a lot of space for creative freedom in most religious houses. And so that I feel is the message most people, a lot of people think like, oh, I have a community. I go to my church. Or I go, but there's not a lot of room for you to share what you think in those places. Like, and so, yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Oh my God. I'm actually in the process of working with a friend. And we're putting together a small group for January of entrepreneurs who are all about curiosity and play and just having a monthly mastermind call where we just like, it's like a community, you know, because like not everyone is interested in being curious all the time,
yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Something, and it's not a judgment. It's like, okay, I understand. But like, for me, it's what has me thrive and what has me feel excited about being alive on this planet at this time is like creation and curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and I was like thinking recently, like, oh, maybe I need a church I can go to. And I mean, of course that could be something too, like, but it's not the purpose.
Totally.
Yeah. It's not the purpose of church. Isn't that it's not necessarily creation and curiosity. It's something else, which is cool. I love that. Yeah. And your group. Yeah. If you're listening and you like the feel of what Shane is sharing, your Facebook group is very alive and such a safe space for people to share whatever they want to share.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What would you say to like your entrepreneur self, you know, maybe 10 years ago or when you first kind of I don't know how many years you've been an entrepreneur, but when you first started, like, what would you say to that version of yourself?
It's so funny. I just like leaned back and smiled. Like when I was 9 years old, I don't know why. You know, I always had some kind of business or I always was running something with a notebook. And when I was 12, I had, or 14, I had this boyfriend whose brother had a local newspaper and I put an ad. I was like making resumes, like I would type resumes for people. And I've always been this entrepreneur. And I also don't listen and follow directions well. So having a boss never shaped me. But something that my mentor told me, my acting teacher, Erin Flowers, she said, you're always right and you don't have to prove it to anybody. And it just was like, oh, thank God. Like it was. So if I could tell myself that, you know, when I first started and I got a business card right after I did yoga for the special child and I tried to pretend that I already had made it. So there was an air of like, I didn't use transparency. I didn't, you know, I was, I don't know how old I was, like maybe 28, 29. And I just pretended that I was so much bigger than I was. And so I would tell myself to like relax and that I'm not, that I don't have to prove anything to anybody.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. So juicy. Yeah. I'm like letting that sink in because I know, yeah, my inner, I have to prove it for like, I'm still chipping away at that. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like coming to terms with that part of me. And I've had a big breakthrough around that recently where it's like, because it's connected to a people pleaser, yes, right? Like wanting people like me, wanting people to approve of me. It's so funny. I was in the park yesterday running and I saw this dad. It was so cute. He was pushing a stroller and this little like 3-year-old was on a scooter in front of him and she was like, she was going so fast and he was like, good job, good job, good job. He was like right behind her. And I wanted to go up to him and be like, I love how supportive you are of your daughter, but like, don't say good job. Cause like, she doesn't need your approval and she'll get addicted to that, you know, and it will her,
yeah,
being present to like what is good job mean for her, what is the job she wants to do, you know, what's the like, what is her intuition guiding her to do. So yeah, I think maybe if you're listening out there you might relate to some of this. So yeah, I love what you said about like you don't have to prove yourself.
Yeah,
it's just like if there's something you're called to do, it's perfect, just do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to share it right away. Like you can be discerning and really keep things to yourself until they're ready to be shared.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Those are two genius nuggets of wisdom and gold.
Yes.
So is there anything else that you feel just excited to share or that's, you know, that's coming up, anything that you want our listeners to know or share with them?
Ooh, this conversation feels so complete. I mean, curiosity is powerful. And also to trust those little tiny hits that are so simple sometimes, like look to the right and then to follow up with the action. And I know a lot of times women get stuck in like hopefulness. And if there's no action taken, then that hopefulness sort of fades away or floats away. And so when you have creative ideas or you turn your head to the right and it happens to be a newspaper that says, you know, HBO comedy special applications and your eyes land on it, pay attention to it. So there's a couple things. It's like slow down, listen, and take action.
Ooh.
Yeah, that felt really good. I don't know if I put those three things together before till right now, but yeah, that's it.
Love that. Yeah, that can just be like a forever ongoing practice. Yes. Slow down, pay attention, and take action.
Yeah. Yep.
Juiciness. Oh my God. It's been so fun having you on and such an expansive conversation. I'm so grateful that you took the time out of your busy schedule. And, you know, if you're out there listening, head on over to the description where I'll have all the links, all the juiciness, get into Shane's world. She's just like got just some expanded, creative, courageous energy going on. So thank you so much, Shane.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. You're really good question asker and listener. It's been a pleasure.
All right, so we'll see you all next time and keep on playing and keep on being curious and taking action. All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.